Tonight we're going to be looking at filthy dreamers, and what these are apostates, and we're going to talk about apostates tonight. These are people that have, with their minds at least, received the gospel, but never their hearts. And they were never born again, but they are in the church, and they teach things that ought not to be taught. Most of the cults that we have today in the United States came out of the churches. And people are following them literally by the millions. And so today we're going to be talking about filthy dreamers. These are people that come up with all kinds of different doctrines in their own minds that are contrary to the Word of God. So we're going to read the book of Jude. It says, Jude, and Jude, of course, is the half-brother of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's also an apostle. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterwards destroyed them that believed not. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains, under darkness, unto the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them, in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication, and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise, also these filthy dreamers defiled the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignity. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, The Lord rebuke thee. But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them! For they've gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Kor. These are spots in your feast of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are without water, carried about of the winds, trees whose fruit withereth without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars of whom it is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints, to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaks great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be those who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And if some have compassion, making a difference, and of others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before this presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. The book of Jude was written for the same reason the book of Galatians was written, because there were false teachers in the church almost right from the very beginning. God's word has always been changed and twisted since the very beginning of the church. There's only one standard of truth that we always have to go back to. That's the word of God itself. We're not concerned with Baptists. We're not concerned with Methodists, Catholic, Presbyterian, Lutheran. That's not the problem. The problem is all those denominations from time to time move away from the word of God and begin to follow things that are not according to Scripture. So we're going to contend for the faith. General William Booth, some of you remember, he was the founder of the Salvation Army. Booth was a great and godly man, but he had good insight into the future. And General Booth said this, that the great danger facing the future of the church was having religion without having Christ, having forgiveness without the need of repentance, having salvation without the need for regeneration, having politics without God, and heaven without hell. Folks, we're there now. We're in that day that William Booth was talking about. Many churches teach there is no hell. They'll believe in heaven because that's good. People like heaven. But people don't want to hear about hell. I've had people tell me they haven't heard a sermon on the lake of fire ever since they've been in their church, and some of them have been in the church 20 years. That ought to be talked about. Jesus talked more about the lake of fire than he did about heaven, believe it or not. He did. And the church ought to be talking about that. In Jude verse 4, it says, for there were certain men crept in unawares. They crept into the church. That's what he's talking about. Who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. So that word lasciviousness means unbridled lust. There are churches, one of the gals that used to go to Trinity Baptist, was, this is years ago, Nancy Tehesse. She brought a little article in the church, posted it on the church board, and it said that there was a church, anyhow, it was a Baptist church, they had a bar in the basement. And so anything to get the crowd coming. The word crept in was a Greek word that was used in the Greek language. If you used to watch Tarzan when you were a boy or girl years ago, when you'd see a crocodile slither into the water without hardly making a ripple, and he's coming after Tarzan, and you go, that's the idea of crept in. They come into the church. They say they trust in Jesus Christ, and maybe they do mentally for a little while, but then they begin to change the doctrine, and they begin to teach strange doctrines in the church. The word speaks of a lawyer in a very clever way in a trial. This idea of crept in. He'll plant a seed in the mind of the people in the jury, and he won't elaborate on it, but the seed is planted. And then a day or two or three later in the trial, he'd come back to that thought, and because it's already been planted, they think it was their own thought on the jury. Some lawyers are very, very clever, and they can creep in that way. The liberal church, most of the liberal churches today, used to be fundamental churches. The Methodist Church of today, the Global Methodist Church, the Methodist Church used to be a fundamental church. People would not hire a Methodist servant in the 18 and early 1900s because every Methodist that would come to their house would do nothing but preach the gospel. That wouldn't be true today. Most Baptist churches years ago, most every single one would have been a fundamental church. That's not the case anymore. Most Lutheran churches would have preached the gospel. They might have had a few smaller doctrines we disagree with, but all were fundamental. That's not the case anymore. And so we have to be careful. When we use the word apostasy, an apostate is one who slips away from the truth. He had a grasp of it, and he let it slip, and now he's teaching things that are no longer biblical. An apostate is someone who's a member of a false, and not a member of a cult. He's a member of a church. Some of these people teach in our Christian colleges. They're teaching things that are against the scriptures in Christian colleges and preparing pastors to teach the same things in their churches. Many colleges have that today. We have to be careful with that. Apostate is somebody who mentally received the truth, but not with their heart. They were never truly born again, but they did join the church. They were asked, have you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And they'll say, yes, I believe Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. But they didn't believe it in their heart. And so the Holy Spirit never came within that person. And as they go along and get a little bit of resistance on the gospel, they change their mind. But they stay in the church. They're very religious, but they're not doctrinally correct. And they begin to teach all kinds of things that are against the scriptures. This has happened right from the foundation of the church, because when we read the book of Galatians in a few minutes, you're going to see very clearly that there's a problem in Galatia. Jude verse 3 says, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. Paul wanted to talk about salvation, but he had to give that church a warning because false doctrine was already being taught. And so we need to be very careful with this. In Jude verse 8, it talks about what these apostates are. Likewise, also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignity. The apostates are called filthy dreamers. Now, that doesn't mean they have sexual dreams at night. It means they have filthy dreams that are contrary to the Word of God as far as having visions, as far as having revelations in their own mind, but it's not coming from God. And there's a lot of this going on today. In the book of Jude, there's a contrast given in verse 3 that says we should earnestly contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. When he talks about the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints, he's talking about the Bible, the written word of God. When the Apostle Paul was teaching the Berean Christians, it said the Bereans there were very excited about what Paul taught, but every day they compared what he said to the scriptures. What scriptures would they have had to compare what Paul said to? The Old Testament. The New Testament hadn't been written yet. This is just starting out. And so they compared what Paul said about Jesus Christ to what the Old Testament said about Jesus Christ. And if they matched, everything was good. If they didn't match, then there was a problem. The Bible, the faith in God's Word, is what the saints always go back to compare what's being taught in a Baptist church, a Methodist church, a Lutheran church, a Catholic church. We should go back to the Scriptures and say, is that what the Scriptures teach? It doesn't matter what denomination you belong to. I don't know if you know it or not, but every denomination is man-made. What were the early Christians called? They were people of the way. That was it. There were no Catholic churches. There were no Baptist churches. There were no Lutheran churches, Pentecostal. There was none of that. There was people of the way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. They were simply followers of Jesus Christ. And so today, when we talk about Methodist, Baptist, Lutherans, we're talking basically smaller doctrines that, although they're important, the mode of baptism and so on, they're important, but they won't keep you out of heaven. But if you don't believe Jesus Christ is God, guess what? That will keep you out of heaven. And so we look at all these things in Matthew chapter 15, talking about changing doctrine. This has happened even before the church started. It says, "Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders, for they wash not their hands when they eat bread? But he answered and said unto them, Why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and thy mother, and he that curses father and mother, let him die the death. But you say, Whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, It is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father and his mother, he shall be free. Thus you made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. You hypocrite! Well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." And so what was happening is, the priests were saying to the people, if your father and mother are getting older, and you don't want to support them, which the Bible says we should help our mom and dad when they get in trouble as they get older, you just give it to the temple. And then you don't have to support your parents. God said you're making the commandment of God. God says honor your father and mother. How long? We honor them all our life long. We don't obey them as we did at little children, but when they get sick and they get old, you better be there for them. Don't just say, well, I don't have to take care of them. We don't get along. You better get along. They took care of you. And these Jews are teaching false doctrine before the church even began. And ever since then, in the church too, false doctrine has been taught. And the only way to identify it is to know the Word of God. You can't count on Baptists, because Baptists teach false doctrine sometimes. I was in a church as a boy that taught false doctrine. They said I could get to heaven by being a good person. Folks, that's not true. I don't care what the name on the door is. If the church you go to says you can get to heaven without trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you better get out of there. That's not right. There's always been a fight for the faith. Over against faith is what's called dreams or imagination. This has been going on from the very foundation of the history of mankind. There have always been those who thought they could make up their own doctrine. This is what I believe. It's their own dream in their own mind. And I know everything, and so I can tell you what's right and what's wrong. The Bible says if anybody trusts in man, and their heart departs from God, let them be accursed. And these men want you to follow them. In Deuteronomy 13, verse 1, so way back in Moses' time now, this is what he says. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spoke unto thee, saying, Let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet, or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God proveth you to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall walk after the Lord your God, and fear him, and keep his commandments, and obey his voice. And you shall serve him, and cleave unto him. And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death, because he hath spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt, and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, to thrust thee out of the way which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk in. So shalt thou put the evil away from the midst of thee. So way back in the time of Moses, there were false prophets rising up that could do miracles. This is the amazing thing. When Moses turned the water into blood. What did the Egyptian magicians do? They did the same thing. Satan does have power to do miracles if the Lord allows it. When the false prophet, you got the beast and the false prophet during the 7-year tribulation. The false prophet is going to call down fire from heaven just like Elijah did. But that doesn't mean the people there ought to worship the beast. That's what they're going to do. The false prophet is going to be able to raise up and give life back to the beast, although the beast has a head wound that should have killed him. So there are going to be miracles done, but the Bible says even if you see a miracle and they're trying to get you to do something contrary to the Word of God, don't do it. Everybody says, boy, if I could just see a miracle, I'd do whatever they do. No, you don't want to do that. Satan does have the power to do things. So the dream he's talking about is subjective religion. We'll just make up our own list of rules and things that we ought to do to get to heaven. We'll figure out what we think is right and wrong. And that's what we'll do. Those things are filthy dreams, and the Lord says we ought not to have any part with that. Likewise, also, these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignity. So they defile the flesh. One of the things that goes along with apostasy, in other words, the man who says they believe in Jesus Christ, but then they fall away. Sensual sins almost always follow simply because when you reject the truth of the Word of God, you are committing spiritual suicide. You're departing from the truth that you believed, and now you are believing a lie. In Jude chapter 1, verse 7, it says, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise, also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignity. Those people are more susceptible to following false doctrine and false teaching than even the unsaved are, because they came right to the knowledge of the truth and rejected it. That's spiritual suicide, folks, and that's a very dangerous thing. The Bible tells us in 2 Peter chapter 2 that people who do that are like a dog going back to its vomit and like a pig going back to the mud. This is a little bit of a long reading, but it's important. Because not just the book of Jude talks about this, Galatians talks about this, and Peter talks about this, and the Apostle Paul. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Before I read verse 3, I want to give you just a few. It says, many are going to follow their false teaching. How many Jehovah's Witnesses are there in the world today? Anybody got an idea? There's 8 million. 8,625,000. And then, you know, who knows, a few more, a few less. How many Mormons are there? There's over 17 million Mormons. When we talk about a few people following false teaching, how many are we talking about? We're 25 million right there. How many Unitarians are there? The Unitarian Church takes a little bit out of the Lutheran faith, a little bit out of the Baptist, a little bit out of the Seventh-day Adventist, a little bit here, and they mix it all together. There's over 800,000 of them who take a little bit from everything and say, this is our faith, this is our religion. Church of Scientology, 4.4 million. Unity Pentecostal Church. Now, this is not all Pentecostals, don't get me wrong. But the United Pentecostal Church denies the Trinity. Okay, so it's a special Pentecostal-type church. There's 5.6 million of them. The Muslim Church came 500 years after the Lord Jesus Christ's birth, death, and resurrection, Muhammad was studying the Jewish faith and the Christian faith, trying to convince them that his new revelation was the absolute truth. Today there are 1.96 billion Muslims on this earth. They followed a false teaching, and there's 1.96 billion. The Hindus have over 10,000 gods that they worship, and there are 1.2 billion of them. False teaching is everywhere, and people are following it. Verse 3 says, "And through covetousness, they shall with feigned words make merchandise of you." How many evangelists have you seen on TV late at night that are telling you if you'll send in the money? Somebody that's sending in that money, the Lord's told me they're going to be a millionaire. Well, guess who's going to be the millionaire? That false prophet. That guy that's telling you to send the money in. Folks, this stuff is craziness. They'll make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example of those that should afterwards live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. And that righteous man, dwelling among them, and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh and the lust of uncleanness, and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots are they, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way, and gone astray, following the way of Balaam the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass, speaking with a man's voice, forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that are clean escaped from them that live in error. Well, they promise them liberty. They themselves are the servant of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, the same is he brought into bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they've known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow was washed who were wallowing in the mire. And so these people were never saved, because you don't call a saved person a pig or a dog. Those are unsaved people. They're in the church. They know all the right words to say, but they don't stick with that. They change the doctrine. Something happens, an apostate who makes a profession of faith, but then leaves the faith and begins to ridicule the faith because they were never born again. Believing it here doesn't get the job done. You have to believe with all your heart. Many people will make a profession of faith, stay true just for a little while, and then when any problem comes up, they're gone. Or they stay in the church and start preaching false doctrine. And it's happened a lot. Listen to a description of a Christian who witnessed Mardi Gras down in New Orleans. It's a curious thing for an outsider to see this revelry, this spectacle, this wild press of people, here under the banner of ancient gods, such as Bacchus, the pagan god of wine, and Isis, the Egyptian deity of darkness. They celebrate their human half, the darker side of their human nature. Here wine literally flows. The streets reek with the fermented slop of the trash cans bearing oyster sucks, and other restaurant scraps line the curb, carrion for the destitute. Here between Christianity and paganism, affluence and want boil something of the human fears. Here is emboldened by alcohol and the mass they shout back in the face of the street preacher, "Be gone." If they feel guilty later, at least it's later. Here all things are suspended. Pain, guilty, conscience, and the more pleasurable pursuits of drink and sex. A strong undercurrent of sex pervades the entire carnival. Women draw garter belts and expose their breasts. Men parade in mask of leather and mask of demons, their feral tongues extended. For this is, after all, the celebration of the arrival of spring, a return to fertility after the winter's pause. Yet it is also the beginning of Lent, the celebration of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And these two dwell side by side, a curious coexistence. It's a contradiction, as New Orleans itself is a testament to these misplaced Frenchmen and their zest for living. The word Mardi Gras, it means Fat Tuesday. Why would you want to have a Fat Tuesday just before you're going to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord? Because the church, and not our church, we don't follow Lent at all here, but the church historically, Catholic, Lutheran, Methodist, have pretty much said 40 days prior to Resurrection Sunday, we're going to have a time of preparing for the resurrection. We're going to deny ourselves certain earthly pleasures. And so they're saying Fat Tuesday is a chance to really let it rip before we have to start cleaning up. Folks, that's part of this whole idea of the apostasy. Can you imagine a Christian dressing up as a pagan god? Going after all that stuff? But that's who these people are. They say they're Christian, but they act just like the devil. Folks, you can't do that. You can't go back to your church on Sunday and say everything's perfectly okay. But they do. Filthy dreamers, that's what the Bible's talking about. Sooner or later, you watch an apostate and they will fall into those kinds of sexual sins. Apostates deny the Father in Jude 1:8. Likewise also, these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. There's nobody they won't speak evil of, including even God himself. They'll misuse the names of angels. They'll say terrible things about anybody that's over them. In Jude 1, verse 25, it says, "To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever." And the apostate says, "No, we're not going to give honor to God. We're not going to honor Jesus Christ." Who do Jehovah's Witnesses say Jesus Christ is? Jehovah's Witnesses say that Jesus Christ was a created being. He is a God, but not God. Hosea 13:4. Anybody ever memorize that verse? It's a very important verse. You should write down someplace at home in case a Jehovah's Witness comes to your house. Hosea 13:4 says, "I am the Lord," all capital, so this is Jehovah Lord, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt. You shall acknowledge no God but me, and no Savior except me. When the apostates are despising dominion, they're truly despising the only wise God. An apostate literally hates God. In Jude chapter 1, verse 4, it says, in denying our only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, these are not deniers of God outside the church. These are deniers of God inside the church. These are people who despise dominion, yet sit in our church pews and teach in our seminaries and preach from our pulpits. They despise dominions, that is, they are rebels at heart. And their battle cry is freedom. They do not want anyone or anything to tell them what they must believe or how they must behave. They despise dominion from the bottom to the top. Anarchy and apostasy are twins. Rebellion is the heart of apostasy. That is what makes him an apostate. It's the same thing that made the devil in the first place, and it's the same thing that drove Cain to kill his brother Abel. In the newspaper a few years ago was a story, it was called Bible Stories or the Gospel Church, Searches for Its Soul. This story was written about the Church of England and distributed by the Associated Press. Here's what it said. The Church of England's ruling synod searched its collective soul in public yesterday, prompted by a bishop's statement that cast doubts on the literal truth of the virgin birth and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The troublesome bishop, a former professor of theology, provoked an uproar last April by saying on a television program that the traditional account of the resurrection reduced it to a conjuring trip with bones. He declared that Christians are not obligated to believe that Jesus was divine. The virgin birth, he said, I have made it pretty clear that it's a story told after the event in order to express and symbolize the faith that Jesus' birth was a unique event from God. He has since made clear that he will continue to say excitable things, since that's exactly what Jesus used to do, so I couldn't have a better example to follow. The Reverend David Holloway, who represents a group of evangelical clergymen, and described Bishop Jensen's views as a cancer that would gradually strangle the church. But the Archbishop of Canterbury, Robert Rumsey, reminded the Synod that Anglicans enjoy intellectual freedom and independence. The church is not like a school who must expel a boy from school lest he influence the others in his wickedness. Those people, apostates, despise dominion. They do not want anyone to tell them that this is what you must believe. Even the Word of God is rejected by them because it says it's the truth. They don't believe in intellectual truth. They believe they make up the truth in their own hearts. They'll parade in every parade that's against the establishment of dominion in any sense. Apostates disgrace even the faithful. Jude chapter 1 verse 8 says, likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignity. There's nothing too holy or too high that these men and women will not ridicule. These apostates first receive the truth, and then they refuse the truth, and then they ridicule the truth that they once said they believed. That bishop we just talked about, when he said the resurrection story is nothing more than a trick of missing bones, they have a way of speaking down to anyone who believes the very things they used to say they believe. So there's nothing too holy, and he doesn't do this outside the church. The apostate does it in the church. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 10, it says, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh, in the lust of uncleanness, and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignity. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. And Jude chapter 1, verse 9 says exactly the same thing. Yet Michael the archangel, when he contended with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." Moses died, and the Bible says nobody knows where Moses was buried. Yet Satan wanted to argue with Michael because Satan said he knew where Moses was buried. Michael has the truth and righteousness on his side, and the devil in his rebellion is trying to say he knows what God says nobody knows. Michael didn't read Satan the Riot Act. He respectfully said to Satan, "The Lord rebuke you." The battle was won. Michael didn't have to take anything extra. He simply said, "The Lord's truth will rebuke you." If the mightiest angel in all of his glory would not speak disrespectfully about Satan, compare that with these apostates who speak evil about God himself. Apostates are not the least bit afraid to speak against God and against his word. When you receive the truth, but not the truth giver, beware, or you too could wind up giving yourself over to fleshly desire. You will come to despise all authority, especially the authority of God. And with your own tongue, you'll begin to speak blasphemous things. Apostates are more outspoken in their charges against the Lord himself than Michael the archangel was speaking against the devil. The Bible calls these people filthy dreamers, and sadly the church has many within it. We must learn to mark them and avoid them like the plague, because that's exactly what they are. They're in every church. Satan plants them there to do his work by lying and twisting the truth. In Romans 16, verse 17, it says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you've learned, and avoid them. For they are such as serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I'm glad therefore on your behalf. But yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." Now, why did we name this message Filthy Dreamer? It's because no matter how much the apostate rebels and has filthy dreams, no matter how much they defile themselves and speak evil against dignities, their dreams will never come true. Because in the end, they too will have to give an account, just like everybody else, of their lives. In Romans 14, verse 10, it says, "But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God." Once again, these filthy dreamers will believe the truth, but it's going to be too late to trust in the one who is the truth. Today is the day of salvation. If you believe it's true, trust in Jesus Christ today, not just with your brain, with your entire heart. So that you yourself don't become an apostate like so many others have. Jesus said in John 14, verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Let's pray. Father, I pray that the salvation of everybody in this room will be true. That, Father, they will have gone beyond just intellectual belief to believing with the whole heart, to the point of receiving Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Because we know, according to your word, Lord, those that truly believe will never have to worry about becoming apostate. Because your Spirit lives in them, they will stay faithful to the end. And Lord, we'll give you the praise in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen.